rocking with late night edition of the Narain Train. It is now 2:15 in the morning. I should be somewhere else, but I am not. And I'm here talking to you guys. Like, if anybody's ever heard my late night sessions, it's usually when I have some afterthought or I've been inspired by somebody's music, so I come in here and play, you know, things that inspire me. And today I have a very special guest with me in the studio, my friend Danita. Would you like to say hello? She said hello. And, you know, Danita and I, I'm sitting here talking, like, you know, she's a very good friend of mine. She's very smart. And, you know, a lot of things that I may discuss on the Narain Train are controversial, and I'm aware of that, and I've gotten some hate mail and letters about it, and, you know, disgruntled Facebook messages about things I may have said in the past, but, you know, it's never stopped me from voicing my opinion. And I want to talk about something that is a really big issue to me, because, you know, I am a father, and I'm also a black man.
Spoiler alert.
But, you know, I'm a black man with children, and, you know, and you know, black men get a bad rap, you know, as far as being responsible parents and doing what they have to do. I mean, unfortunately, there is a lot of young black youth out here that are without their fathers, and, you know, and it's a big issue, you know, and I specifically chose to be an involved father, and, you know, not every child gets that option to have a father that's involved. So, you know, I was talking to my friend Danita here, and she put me onto a very inspirational little YouTube video, and it's about women's choice, you know, but you know, how, you know, Florida even, how they, you know, try to, you know, to take away women's choice, and you can trick what they can do when it comes to their bodies, you know. And, you know, I, for one, as you, if you've been listening to Narain Train, you know I'm very pro-choice, you know. And Donnie, like, I mean, what is, like, you know, I mean, what do you think is the full message of what they're about to hear? What they're looking at is women have to hold the brunt of, you know, childbearing, you know, like, I mean, not only for that 9 months, but, you know, 18 years after that, you know, and how this is influenced by politics, you know, and, you know, men, specifically old white men's, you know, their opinions on, you know, what a woman, you know, what her choices are. And, you know, this video was inspirational to me. And, you know, Donnie, like, you're very passionate about this, right? Like, I mean, so, honestly, I mean, before we play this clip, do you think legislation should be changed as far as, you know, let's just say specifically Florida, you know? Like, I mean, do you think there should be more accountability, like, put towards men with kids, or... You know, or do you think there should be some type of, do you think, like, abortion laws should be lapsed, maybe something past 7 months abortion? I mean, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I think it's hard to say anything specific, because it's hard to, like, you know, there's so many things that influence, like, what laws get passed and, like, what actually happens. But I guess my true point in this and that is that, like, it's really not black or white as much as people might think it is, because... It's hard to say it, but it's hard to think that men and women don't really have an equal playing ground in voting on this issue, because when you will never be put in this situation, you can always play the higher moral high ground. And like I told you earlier, which is, like, you know, personal, but, like, you know, I've had, you know, boyfriends in the past that have, you know, been very conservative, and, like, you know, they say, like, right now I'm pro-choice, but I'll probably end up being pro-life. And that was shocking to me to hear that. And it really enlightened me. You know, it just didn't come out of the blue that feel this way, but like that specific statement enlightened me in that, you know, once you're not in that situation where you might have to deal with an unplanned pregnancy, that you can easily vote on a situation that will basically control women and like what happens to them. You know, once it's something that will never influence your life, it's like really easy. But it's kind of scary to think that like that's how women's lives will be influenced in the future.
So I mean, how could that change, you know, legislatively? Like, how can you make a man more accountable for his children? I mean, there's child support, but what is child support except a bill, right? Like, it's pretty much a monthly bill. It's the equivalent of GRU, right?
Right. I mean, I think honestly, at this point, the only, like, off the top of my head, the only thing that I could really think of is to put the choice in the woman's hands to bear a child.
Right.
And as hard as, you know, it's really easy to say, like, of course I support life, of course I love babies, but it's really the woman's choice of what happens to her.
So, I mean, so essentially there's nothing that you can do, you know, or there's nothing legislation can do to make a man more accountable for.
I'm not saying there's nothing, but I mean, at this point in time, like, I should give you, like, a reasonable alternative, but at this point, what I do know is that it needs to be in a woman's hands.
Right on, right on. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get into that clip real quick. We're going to play that, and we'll be talking a little bit after that. You're rocking with Late Night Edition of the Rain Train. This is Choo Choo on Grow Radio. Let's go.
Women deserve better. And I almost let her non-threatening grin begin to infiltrate my psyche till I read the unlikely small print at the bottom of the ad. Sponsored by the U.S. Secretariat for Pro-Life Activities and the Knights of Columbus. On a bus in a city with a population of 563,000. Four teenage mothers on the bus with me. One Latina woman with three children under three and no signs of a daddy. One 16-year-old black girl standing in 22-degree weather with only a sweater and a book bag and a bassinet with an infant that ain't even 4 weeks yet. Tell me that, yes, women do deserve better. Women deserve better than public transportation rhetoric from the same people who won't give that teenage mother a ride to the next transit, won't let you talk to their kids about safer sex, have never had to listen as the door slams behind the man who adamantly says, that shit ain't his. Leaving her to wonder how she'll raise this kid. Women deserve better than the $300 TANF in AFDC will provide that family of three, or the $6 an hour job at KFC with no benefits for her new baby, or the college degree she'll never see because you can't have infants at the university. Women deserve better than lip service paid for by politicians who have no alternatives to abortion, though I'm sure right now one of their 17-year-old daughters is sitting in a clinic lobby, sobbing quietly and anonymously, praying parents don't find out, or is waiting for mom to pick her up because research shows that out of wedlock childbirth don't look good on political polls, and Sarah ain't having that. Women deserve better than backward governmental policies that don't want to pay for welfare for kids, or health care for kids, or child care for kids, don't want to pay living wages to working mothers, don't want to make men who only want to be last night's lovers responsible for the semen they lay. Just flat out don't want to pay for shit, but want to control the woman who's having it. Acting outraged at abortion, well, I am outraged that they want us to believe that they believe that women deserve better. The Vatican won't prosecute pedophile priests, but I decide I'm not ready for motherhood, and it's condemnation for me. These are the same people who won't support national condom distribution to prevent teenage pregnancy, but women deserve better. Women deserve better than back alley surgeries that leave our wounds barren and empty. Deserve better than organizations bearing the name of land-stealing racist rapists, funding million-dollar campaigns on subway trains with no money to give these women, while balding middle-aged white men tell us what to do with our bodies while they wage wars and kill other people's babies. So maybe women deserve better than propaganda and lies that get into panties. Propaganda and lies to get into office, to get out of court, to get out of paying child support. Get the fuck out of our decisions and give us back our voice. Women do deserve better. Women deserve choice.
You guys just listened to the clip that we were previously discussing, and I'm not quite sure who that was. Donnie, can you elaborate for me? That was Sonya Renee, What Women Deserve. Now, I mean, that was brought to you by my good friend Donnie over here. And Donnie, can you explain where you got that? Well, how'd you come across it? Like, I mean, it's kind of obscure, like, you know, obscure YouTube. Reference. Yeah, like.
I think she really inspires me because she speaks for equality of women, and, you know, it's not even just about being pro-choice, but for speaking up and not having to be ashamed of being considered as an equal, or, you know, standing up for our rights just as equal to being men. And it seems like kind of ludicrous, and it seems like it's like hyper feminist to even like consider that, but at the same time I feel like it's a really prevalent issue like today, even not just being.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what I also got from that, like I was going to expound on that. So it's not even just a pro-choice issue, it's a woman's choice. It's a woman equality issue, right? So I feel like, you know, like she was speaking about one issue, and I think that's pretty minor in comparison to a lot of things women go through. I mean, in the workforce, in certain, you know, in certain job markets, you know, women are a minority. In a lot of job markets, women are a minority. But I mean, so what do you think, you know, what do you think needs to be done for women to have an equal voice, maybe equal pay, or just equal representation in, you know, a male dominated workforce?
Well, you know, I think that the word feminist has like an immediate negative connotation to a lot of people. And it seems something that's, you know, that's really extreme. But honestly, I think considering women as equals is a huge, huge point. And it seems like it's not an issue, but it really is. Like, I know this from discrimination that I face all the time.
So do you think that all this is intentional, or maybe it's like, you know, policies that are already in place?
It's certainly not intentional. I don't want to say that. I'm not saying that I, you know, men are bad guys or anything like that. It's just our society, and we have to make a change. I mean, I think everyone recognizes that, you know, our society as a whole has to make a change in a lot of different places, and this is just one of them. And, you know, I think that every year we're growing and we're kind of becoming more progressive and we're becoming more equal. And I just think that this is not even, you know, there's a lot of things that we can improve upon. This is definitely not the only one. And I don't even want to say it's the most important. Of course, it's very close to my heart, but there's certainly a lot of things that we could become more equal on society as a whole.
You know, and I struggle with this is because, you know, I meet a lot of intelligent women out there, and it's I guess because I'm so removed and far removed from the workforce that I don't necessarily see where there is room for inequality, like, you know, where women aren't being represented when I know so many are getting degrees out there, you know? So, I mean, you know, what is it? Do you think it begins at the application process to where, like, you're discredited as a woman? I mean, what is making women so underrepresented when actually they make up a majority of, you know, the college degree recipients? So
that is completely true. You know, women are, you know, they do have a majority of the degree recipients. They are making the good grades, but then it's not being represented in the workforce. It's not being represented in pay grade. And that has to make you wonder what is the problem really? And it's not even, you know, I'm not saying it's just men's influence. It's the society that we grow up in. It's that, you know, as soon as a woman might even consider having a baby, they're already taking themselves out of out of the competition for a promotion because they're already considering their family. You know, women that aren't even married might even be considering their baby that they're going to have 5 years from now and aren't putting themselves up for that promotion. And, you know, statistically, women do not compete for pay increases upon an interview. They don't fight for a pay increase as much as as much as a man would. No, and it's true. And it's like I said, it's not just a men's issue. It's a society issue as a whole. It's the way women are represented, and you know, we just have to grow as a society.
Well, do I mean, in particularly, there was a lot going on in 2012 with Obama's reelection. There was also a lot of high profile. State elections going on. One I can really remember is Jan Brewer, who was in California. She was running for the governor of California, and she is also the CEO of eBay, or was the CEO of eBay. And you know, one thing that you know, her co-workers and colleagues would say about her is that she was cold-hearted, she was a bitch, you know. And like, I'm thinking, she's a CEO, so I mean, do you think women have to like overcompensate for like you know, for being a little aggressive just to be successful in the workforce? I mean, and if so, like, why? Like, why do you think so?
Yeah, I definitely, of course, I feel that way. I mean, I think that men and women are, you know, from the get-go, aren't really considered on the same playing field. I mean, men are naturally more aggressive because of testosterone, etc. But, you know, when a woman, like, represents herself strongly, she might be considered being a bitch. You know, instead of just being like aggressive and really going for like, or really believing in something. And actually a lot of something that I like drew inspiration from is Sheryl Sandberg's TED Talk. And she, I think she was, God, I don't want to misquote, but she's, I think she's a CFO of Facebook. And she, you know, she expanded a lot on why, you know, women might even to be taking themselves out of the workforce, you know, why they're taking themselves out of the competition for the best jobs. And I mean, there's so much that you talk about. I'm gonna talk.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, I recognize that it's there. I was just trying to kind of get your insight. And also, I want to make a little retraction. Jan Brewer is not, she was not the CEO of whatever company I said, I don't remember what it was. She's actually the governor of Arizona, and it, even her, she's really aggressive, and it makes me wonder, because I guess I'm kind of victim of that sexism as well, because like, you know, when I see interviews with certain women, especially the political figures, I'm like, yeah, she's kind of bitchy, you know. But I mean, maybe that's what we associate, you know, like, you know, competent, successful women with, is like being a bitch. You know, and it's like, it's not fair, you know, and I get it. But I mean, I guess there's no clear answer for it. I mean, honestly, if I think I've been bred, you know, through society to recognize that, like, a confident woman is being a bitch, you know,
or
unfortunate.
That being more docile is more attractive.
Yeah, like, and submissive, you know, I mean, it's,
yeah,
it's messed up because, I mean, I don't feel that way now. But this, you know, I'm also, you know, 26 years old, so it's like, you know, it's kind of been ingrained in me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean...
And it's ingrained in women as well.
You think so?
Of course.
So why are you the anomaly? Give us a couple.
You know, it really depends on what drives the woman in particular. I mean, a lot of women, you know, they're... main goal is to have, it's just to have and to raise a family, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that's not a completely legitimate, wonderful goal to have, but those women who's like, that's their goal, they're much more widely accepted by society, and they're going to have a much easier time. But maybe if your goal isn't to raise a family, maybe it's to be a CEO of a corporation, you're going to have a lot harder time socially, and you know, you kind of just have to question society, like, why is that? Why can a woman not just have a different goal? Why can she not be accepted just as much as the woman who just wants to raise a family?
Right, and you know, going back to that video that you just played, so the whole raising a family thing, I feel like there's a lot of pressure on women, right, mm-hmm. to do that. And, you know, if a woman wants to raise a family, well, I mean, it should be that a woman wants to raise a family with whatever man that helps, you know, create that family, right? Or whatever, like, even if you, like, you know, if you have a partner that's a woman, you know, it's like a two-person process, you know, like, to raise a child. I believe it should be, anyway.
I mean, evolutionarily speaking, that's like a woman's instinct.
Right. And, but, I mean, so to kind of, if a woman wants to have a family and she's a CEO, I mean, in my eyes, it shouldn't be that much of a conflict because there should be somewhere else, well, someone else helping her doing, right? But I guess that's not always the case. And unfortunately, like, so a lot, there are a lot of women CEOs out there. And they, that I can think of, not a lot of them have children, you know? And if they do, the man, and this is, you know, specifically, and I guess in the political realm, the man doesn't work. So the man's like, there has to be some figure, I guess. Well, I guess we've been trained in America to have some figure that stays at home to take care of children. So, I mean, is there room for two parents to both be successful and still raise a child?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was gonna expand on that a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of very successful men that have worked really hard to get to the place where they are, and you don't see them having children until they're much older, you know, until they're 15 or something like that, and they're this newborn baby with this, you know, young wife. But that's the thing, is like, the women can just be really successful by the time we're 50 and then expect to have a baby or a kid. I mean, that's just something that we have to go with. There's nothing really
this
can
is
do
biology,
about that.
This is biology. Yeah. There's nothing you can do about that. Right on. Well, listen, this is, late night. I got it on the Grow website. It's a late night session. Right? Late night session featuring my good friend Donnie. I call her D. Hey, D. And I hope you enjoy the conversation. I will not, if you're listening now, I'm not going to be doing my show tomorrow in the rain train. This actually will be on circulation, unlike my regular show. And if you happen to come across this, you really like it, you can definitely hit us up, goradio.org. You can send whatever you want to send, hate mail, love mail, whatever. You can hit me up on my personal email, cdnarain@yahoo.com. Remember to drop a line on the studio number 352-872-5085. And you are rocking with Choo Choo. This is Grow Radio. Remember to spay and neuter your ignorant. Peace.